Again, we are grateful to be here. For those who were not here earlier, we are grateful that you are here now. Amen. And we are grateful to Deacon McCoo and to all the other leadership team and for our lovely host who treated us quite well. Amen. We were literally at home with Jim and Bob. We appreciate them. And thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you for each one of you for being here and for being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad that you have a God who loves us so and cares for us and always want our best interests and always have our best interests at heart? I'm glad of that, aren't you? Now, down in Kansas City, they say amen every now and again. Someone said that amen means that you agree with what has been said and you can sign off on it. Amen. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to a familiar passage of Scripture, I entitled this message, A Season's Tip to Keep a Grip. How you like that? Is that all right? A season's tip to keep a grip. We're living in a society where everything is becoming unglued, becoming unfamiliar. Whether it's sickness unexpectedly, whether it's death that occurs in someone's life, as we celebrate a homegoing of a 46-year-old man who was a thriving father, was caring and loving and kind, and God took him home, and that death came unexpectedly. A death just occurred the other day. A lady had an aneurysm and Thursday, and she died Friday in the church family of the sending church. My family, my wife's family, had experienced death for the last 3 months, almost a death a month from the family. And so things change. Leaderships rise and fall. All the things that are happening, seasons that come in our lives, that sometime if we don't have God's tip, we can lose our grip. Amen. Amen. I hope I don't bother you by moving a little bit. I move when I speak, but I'll try to stay still as much as I could. How about that? Is that all right? Amen. I want to share with you three simple principles that you know quite well, but just a reminder to us about season. And everyone has a season. You know, as Solomon said, to everything there's a time and a season. We go through difficult moments and challenging moments. We have our mountaintop experiences, as on the mountain of transfiguration, or our Elijah mountain, but then we have to go down to the valley. And the valley waits on us, and it can take us through moments of despondency, despair, and discouragement. But we must keep on keeping on. Amen? Young people in school, when they're matriculating in school, and they are doing quite well, and then there come that test that kind of throw them for a loop, and they don't make it as good as they want to, and it can be depressing. Young people, amen. And we're grateful for our young people. Give our young people a hand, if you will. We are grateful for our middle-aged people. Everybody makes a difference. Give them a hand, if you will. Now, some of you want to be middle-aged, but we know we're down in the old age. Let's give our older people a hand, too. Amen. Amen. Everybody deserves a hand, just the encouragement to keep on keeping on. Amen. We have to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. And that's what the book tells us to do, right? And so we are grateful for that. If you turn in your Bible just for a few moments for a passage that you know quite well, Proverbs chapter 3. If you stand, because you'll be sitting for about an hour and two. I'm just kidding. You'll be sitting for a while. Will you please stand? Amen. Some of the superscriptions of this passage tells us that it's instruction for guidance for young, but there are timeless principles that we can really glean for any age. Amen? Proverbs chapter 3, he says in verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Then verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Amen. Father, speak to our listening hearts and cause us not only to hear, but to adhere to your precious word. For the entrance of your word giveth light. And we pray that you open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things and truths out of your law. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it's always a pleasure to have my lovely bride with me. And she keeps me going. And when I have moments of despondency, oops, did I say I have moments of despondency? When I have moments of discouragement, did I say that? Yeah, I did. She tells me to look back. And I don't like looking back in the rearview mirror because it's a dangerous thing, okay? But every now and then she tells me to look back to where the Lord has brought me and what he has done. So you keep on keeping on. And I appreciate her for that. Amen? She keeps me going. Amen. And I'm appreciative for her. Thank you all for, again, allowing us to be here. So it's a new season's tip. You know, we're coming into a new season of fall and everything that's happening with that. There are droughts and stuff that are occurring all across America. There are water issues down in Louisiana. And there are issues all over America. We still have to keep a grip. We still have to trust in the Lord. Three things I would like to lay on your heart. One is to trust in the Lord. Two is invest in the Lord. Three is persevere in the Lord. Now you can go to sleep and I'll wake you up at the end of the service. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. Don't take me serious now. I'm going to wake you up if you go to sleep on me. All right. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord. And he's telling the young person there in the text, he says, my son, do not forget the law. Let your heart keep my commandments, lengthen days and long life and peace they shall add to you. If we remember the Lord and who he is and who is God that I should obey him. Someone had asked that question before in history, right? Is that right? Who is the Lord? Pharaoh said, who is God that I should obey him? Well, he's the God, the boss of the universe. And Psalm 139 said, oh Lord, you search me and know me. You know my down sitting, my uprising. You understand my thoughts are far off. You are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue. But Lord, Lord, and thou knowest all together. And thou hast beset me behind before and laid thy hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. He's an omniscient God. He said, whether I go from thy presence or whether I flee from thy spirit, he said, by go up there, you're there. If I go down here, you're there. Everywhere I go, your presence is inescapable. Then he says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knows right well. That's the God who is omniscient. That's the God who is omnipresent. We can never escape. One of our songs in that beautiful music today reminds us, no, never, no, never will he forsake us. That's the God we're talking about. And the omnipotent God who says that he created children and they are special in his sight. Amen. Red and yellow, black and white, they all are precious in his sight. Amen. Children are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there ever was a time in our human history that we need to remind children that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And however my eyes are, however my legs are, however my hands are, whatever condition I'm in, I'm wonderfully made. And people used to tell me, say, you're four-eyed. I said, thank you. I got more eyes to see from. Don't let them take you down. Just go rise up above them. Amen? Amen? You're fearfully and wonderfully. Ever was a time we need to remind them that God is the creator and we are the creatures and we don't control him. He controls us. So John chapter 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by him and without him not anything made that was made. In him was life and life was the light of men. And light shined in darkness where darkness comprehended it not. It is he who has made us, Psalm 100, and not we ourselves. And he's not even into us remaking ourselves. Somebody ought to holler amen, because that's so true. And that's the world that needs to hear that. Amen. But if the world doesn't know the God who we're talking about, who's never had an experience with God, who's never said, Lord Jesus Christ, I realize in Adam fall, I sinned all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, who never has said that that I was born in iniquity and in sin, and my mother conceived me, says Psalm 51:5. Who has never said, therefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for there is no difference, according to Romans 5:12. Who has never said that? They realize that God has declared them as a sinner. Not because of your morality, not because of your church attendance, not because of what you give, who you give to, not because of any of those things, not even because of my parental connection. A lot of times in funerals, we have people read, and you read the obituary, they say, at an early age, they trusted Christ. Now, what happened between that dash and all that time? Did he really trust Christ, or did they say because they went to church they trust Christ? So one must believe that in Adam fall we sin all. Then one must believe that he has redemption is available to all. Christ offered redemption to all men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life to those who believe on him. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 11 said, he came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them give thee the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when one embraces that salvation only comes through the person, Jesus Christ, one embraces the fact that I can be redeemed, I'm cast out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 1:13. And I am new only through him. He brings redemption. Redemption means buying you up out of the slave market of sin. One must acknowledge that redemption is available to all who. Thirdly, one must recognize that regeneration is for those who heed the call. The call of salvation. The Bible says in John 6:44 that God woos us and brings us and calls us. In John 16, he tells us that is the Spirit of God that will convict men of sin and will draw them. Now, we think sometimes we're leading people to Christ. Guess what? God's Spirit is doing all that. Amen? He used some of us to water. He used some of us to plant the seed by a Bible verse. We plant the seed by living a Christian life. We plant the seed by being kind. We plant the seed by showing humanity to people. We plant those seeds, and one day the Spirit of God then take that seed and water it by somebody else coming along and further affirming that person that there is a God and he cares and he wants you to know that he cares for you. And then that person, then someone else say, are you ready to receive Christ? Yeah, I'm ready. And you think that you did it? No. Some planted, some watered, some see the increase, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so one does that. The Bible says that therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And he reminds us of that. It is Christ who does it. Titus 3:5-6 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. He washes us thoroughly. Changes us. Give us a new name. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? And you're renewed. Then you show by evidence. Down south, they say if you got some religion, and religion was equated with that of Christianity, you ought to show some signs. Who is God? Then I should obey him. One, I should obey him because I cannot be saved without him. Amen. Paul said to Timothy, he said, Tim, from a child, from infancy, and I'm glad that you have a Sunday school class. I'm glad that these young people are in here. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get around him. You got to go through him. John chapter 14:6 says, for I am the way. Philip said, how are we going to know the way? For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't go around him. Old comedian of yesteryear, his name was W.C. Fields. Anybody remember that name? W.C. Fields, old comedian? Oh, comedian was in the hospital flipping through the Bible. He was just flipping. And someone walked in and said, "Debbie, see what you're doing?" He says, "I'm looking and I'm flipping. I'm trying to find the loopholes. I'm just trying to find the loopholes. And there are no loopholes. The word of God is invincible. It is what it says it is. Amen. Your Bible verse said today, as the rain cometh down, as the snow cometh down, it does what it's supposed to do. And so does my word that goes out, and it will not return unto it void. If God says it, it's going to happen. Everybody should be shouting, because if I'm at the Chiefs game, yeah! Football game, yeah! Soccer game, yeah! That's the kind of trust that one must have, that trust in a God who is able to say to the uttermost, the guttermost to the uttermost, no one is beyond his reach and scope. Amen. I like that. Amen. Paul said it this way, "For I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and salvation unto everyone that believes." Anyone who needs to be saved, God's grace is able to lift them up out of the miry clay and set them on a rock and establish their going and make them somebody. And you can say, "I am somebody. Not because of the pigmentation of my skin, not because of my bank account, not because of my educational achievement, not because of my job advancement. I am somebody because I'm connected to someone, and that's the God of the universe." And all of God's people say, "You're going to wake up in a minute. It's okay." Amen. So the writer says that we must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own. Trust is reliance upon. Total reliance upon. When I had my meniscus tear, and when I had a broken leg, and then when I got well and tried to walk on it and couldn't do it because I didn't have enough strength in it, I still had to remind and rely on the crutch and rely on the walker. Anybody ever been there? Okay? And you need total reliance upon that. Amen? And God is one you can totally rely upon. Oh, I like that, don't you? God is a very present help in time of trouble, the word of God tells us. He's a very help in time of trouble. And you can rely on him. Nehemiah says that God is our stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who put their trust in him. Nahum 1:7. And that's what we have to depend on. That's a tip that we must keep in mind. We must trust in the Lord, not trusting our own ability, not trusting our great connection. The Bible tells us that we need to trust in the Lord. And when you hear talk about trusting the Lord, say, "Joseph, what do you think about him?" "Well, I was sold by my brethren. I was hated by my friends. I was hated by my brethren. My father gave me a colorful coat. I was a youth, and I kind of paraded around them, told them about my dreams. But guess what happened? They didn't like my dreams. They hated on me, and therefore they tried to annihilate me. They sold me, and I went to prison for advancement towards a lady that was accused of being, and I didn't do it, but God was still with me." And all through Joseph's saga, the Bible said, "And God was with him." Paul would say like this, "If God be for us," you got to say it with much gusto, "If God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us?" And later in the end of Joseph's saga, Joseph would say, when his brothers are there scared to death that he's going to get them back for what they have done to him. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil," Genesis 50:20. "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And when you trust in the Lord, you have to see what God is doing in the mix of whatever you're going through. Are you going through something today that you can't figure it out? Just know that God is in the midst of it. Amen? And God has your best interest always at heart. That's why he can say, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And guess what? No one will ever care for you more like God. You can understand that. Your mommy cares for you. Look at your mom and tell her, "Thank you for caring for me. Tell your mommy thank you for caring for you. Amen. A lot of us do that often. Amen. I thank my mom and memory of my mom. And I go to places, I help people out. And when they say, what are you doing that for? I say, I'm doing it in remembrance of my mother. Because she cared and she cared for people. And I care for people. And she said, please don't stop me from helping me to remember what my mother did. Amen. If you think your mother cared for you, your father, tell your father, thank you, Father, for caring for me. And they need to hear more than just for Father's Day. Father, say amen. Mother, say amen. I didn't hear much amen right there. Mother, say amen. Amen. But the Bible says he cares for us. In the verse, 8th verse, it says, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Will rip us apart when we are over anxious about cares of life and over anxious about the season that we may be in, over anxious about situations that seem out of control, and we don't cast those cares upon him, rolling on him, as Psalm 55:22 tells us, roll our concerns on the Lord, for he cares for us. Then the devil pouncing on us and he take us apart. And God said, all I ask you to do is care. Those songwriters say, oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not. Come on, say it louder. All because we do not. All because we do not. Some things. Some things. Few things. Insurmountable things. Infinitesimal. All things to him. All because we do not carry everything. And guess what? We can't have syrup on our fingers and go back and pick it up. Sticky fingers. Leave it there. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Amen. It's Linda Randall, who is a Christian singer with the Gaithers, and she's a first lady. She's a pastor's wife in Kansas City, and she's a great friend. And she sings a song, I know the doctrine and theology right now, it doesn't mean much to me, but here's one thing I got to know. Do I trust you, Lord? Because see, we can know theology. We know God will never leave us. We know God is all powerful. We know God is omnipotent. We know God is Jehovah Shalom. He'll give us the peace. We know God is our Jehovah Rapha. He's the God of healing. We know that God is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide in the nick of time. Now, we know that theologically. We don't know it all the time experientially. Because only when you know, only when you experience that, or when you're going through a season that you don't think you can get through. Amen goes there. Amen goes there. Amen. Well, Joseph, thank you for telling us what that is. And Jewish boys who were taken captive into Babylon, names changed and tried to get you to identify, to forget who you were, and yet you would not bow. And to the point where they cast you, where they cast you into a flame, and your response was, okay, live forever, and it's okay, you can do what you want to do, but our God is, the word is able, say it with me. Able. Our God is,
able.
Our God is,
able.
He's able to deliver us, but oh, I like this one, I like the next verse, but if he chooses not to, what are we going to do? Lose our grip? Trust him. Amen. He says, if God chooses not to do it, God still is able. If he doesn't heal, because he heals all the time. God healed medicinally through medicine. God healed miraculously. Amen. I like that, don't you? And God healed memorially. So you're going to get healed one way or the other. Maybe you're in time or you will be healed in eternity. But if God chooses not to, because there's some theology that says that healing is for everybody. By his stripes we all are healed. And the Apostle Paul said, I beg the difference. I prayed three times according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 to 12. He said, I prayed three times and God says no. And over here you say no. Say no. A little bit powerful. No. Over there said no. And I mean no. God says no. But God didn't leave it there. He said, but my grace is sufficient. He will meet you at your very point of need. His grace is sufficient. Amen? Oh, I like that, don't you? I like that because those boys says, our God is able to deliver us even, but if he chooses not. And you think that is cool, but I think this is the coolest one in scripture. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When we get to that point, we say, nevertheless, not mine, but thine. Boy, we're growing up in our faith. Because we're not concerned about our will. We're concerned about his will. Amen. He who is no fool who gained that which he cannot lose and lose that which he cannot gain, says Jim Elliot, the old missionary of yesteryear. Oh, I like that, don't you? Trust in him. Trust him. Do I trust him? Do I trust him? Do I trust him? Raven, do you trust him? 19-year-old caught with lung issues and lung disease and has to have a lung replacement, and the lung is replaced, and now the lung is defecting and is not working. And Raven telling us she has only a short time to live, but she said, I have to trust in the Lord. Amen. 26 now, trusting in the Lord. Mary, what do you think about it? Well, I don't know how this thing came upon me, but it's on me. Kidney disease. And yet you have to trust him. Trust him. Why? Because God knows and God is able. Amen. All the circumstances of life, you can trust the Lord. Amen. He said, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Jeremiah, what do you think about it? Jeremiah would say to us, watch out now. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, would say in verse 23 and 24 of 9, he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in all the earth. And in these things do I delight. We cannot just limit ourselves to our own understanding. A doctor said to us, you have 5 days, no more than 6 days, to your daughter to bury her. And God says, you don't know it all. Thank you for what you're doing. But I'm going to give her 17 years. Amen. Because God is what? Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask to think according to the power that worketh in us. We must trust in the Lord. When you can't see his hand, you can always trust his heart. Anybody ever trusted him like that? Are you learning to trust him like that? I'm leaning and learning to trust in the Lord. Amen. And you take it through one experience, and guess what? He's preparing you for another to just keep on trusting him. Secondly, invest your time for the Lord. Or invest in things of the Lord. Do things that will count not only for time, but for eternity. Psalm 97, verse 12, he tells us that we must make sure that we remember to count our days, apply our hearts to wisdom, that we may know the things of God. Amen. He tells us that make sure that we do that. In our time investment, what you spend your time in tells a whole lot about you. One can say all that they want to say, but you showed me your time ledger, you showed me your bank account, and you see mine, and you see in time ledger and bank account, you'll know where my heart really is. The Bible tells us to remember our days, to apply our hearts to wisdom. Oh, I like that, don't you? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He tells us in Luke 19, occupy until I come, until your work on earth is done. We must be the occupational force on earth for the kingdom of God. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep on working for him. Amen. When your seasons come and don't look too good, still trust him. Amen. Oh, I like that, don't you? The Bible tells us when we talk about occupying and make sure we're invested, remember that there are two major things that God says. He said, love God and to love man. Love God, love man. What is the greatest commandment out of 616 different commandments? He said that thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you need to have a good, healthy love for yourself. Hello? Not mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the finest of them all. Not that, not that, not that, not that, not that. Not that one, all right, man? Not that one. But loving yourself that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want to give back to the Lord a portion of what he has given to me. We must love ourselves. And we must, and the Bible says in John 9:4, he says, work while it's day, for the nighttime is coming when no man can work. People who get in the hospital, they say, I'm going to serve the Lord when I get out. Really? Are you really going to serve him? Well, you need to serve him starting now. Amen? Now is the time. Don't wait until you graduate. Now is the time. Don't wait until you get to middle school. Now is the time. Serve the Lord now. Because serving the Lord will pay all after a while. Blair Ridge, may I encourage you? Blair Ridge, may I encourage you? To be the one another's of the New Testament. In the word Blair Ridge, it says be patient one with another. Be loving to one another. Admonishing one another. Igniting and exciting and spurring one another on. Hebrews 10:24. Respect and accept one another. Romans 15:7. Interest in looking out for others' interests. One another's. According to Philippians 2:3. Be devoted yourself to one another. And in honor of preferring one another. And that would straighten out a lot of our marriages. Not that you have a marriage problem. I'm just saying marriages in Christian world. If we just prefer, honor preferring one another. Putting others' interests above ours. Because we did it when we were coding. Oh girl. There's no mountain too high. There's no river to flow and swim. Just to be with you. I'll do anything for my baby. Right, okay, all right. It got to be more than just that talk, okay? Because we talked a good game when we were dating, but we got to keep that excitement going while we are married. Amen? Amen? Amen. But that needs to happen in the Christian world. It needs to happen where people see it, where the other community who think they're a community will know that there's no real substance in what they're trying to do. This love only comes through the Christian community. And all of God's people say, amen. And then the D says to devote yourself one to another. Romans 12:10. And the G says to greet one another. And the E says to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I just spell out the one another Blair Ridge for you. Amen. And that we must do. Amen. We must employ the one another. There's some 48 to 50 one another's or more in the New Testament. And some writers put it this way, Mahalia Jackson, that great singer yesteryear, if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer someone with the word of song, if I can show someone he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. Oh yes, my living will not be in vain. Only work, because only what we do for Christ will last. Only what we do for Christ will last. Everything else will burn up. Amen. Everything else will burn up. If I can do my duty as a Christian, or if I can bring salvation to a world what's wrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. And thirdly, persevere in the Lord. Yes, children, it gets weary. Yes, it gets dreary. Yes, it becomes discouraging. Yes, it becomes moments of despondency and despair. But the Bible says the Lord And Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall reap what? New their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, 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 I say, on the Lord. Amen. Waiting on him, you can't go wrong. How many of you know that for sure? Say amen if you know that's real. Paul said to the Galatians, don't grow weary in well-doing, but in due season you should reap if you faint not. Faint means to lose heart. You look at the situation, you look at the church, and you look at all the things around you, and you can lose heart, but don't do it. Jesus said in the world, John 16, 33, in the world you're going to have trials and tribulations. Satan is going to bring his whole kingdom down on you, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And all of God's people are excited to say, amen. Amen. I've overcome the world. Amen. I like that, don't you? Then the Bible tells us in Paul writing his treatise to the Corinthians and on the resurrection and affirming the fact that the resurrection is the real deal, not a play deal. He says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, my labor, your labor, my labor is not in vain. Amen. I like that, don't you? And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, tells us that God is not unmindful of your labor and your work and your good deeds. And God one day will repay you for what you have done down here. Old folk will say, serving the Lord will pay off after a while. That's the old song. Amen. Serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Don't grow weary. Keep on keeping on. Amen. Sometimes I feel discouraged and feel my work in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. And the old folks say, and Gilead said, is there a balm in Gilead? Our folk took that song and said, turned that question mark, that interrogative statement into exclamatory statement. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. And whatever you're going through, God is able to heal you. God is able to strengthen you. God is able to uphold you. As Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 32:17, oh Lord God, with thy outstretched arm, there's absolutely positively nothing too hard for you. God will hold you. All God's folk will shout, hallelujah, amen. Amen, I'm glad about that, amen. God will hold you because there is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Persevere. Old folks used to say, children, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Your time is drawing near. Children, don't grow weary. Children, don't grow weary. Children, don't grow weary. Your time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps. Keep on trusting. Keep on investing in others. Paul said, that which I commit to you, commit thou to faithful men. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, that they may be faithful, also committed to another generation. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, remembering your faithfulness and your unwavering faith, he says, in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and he says, I'm sure it is in you, a generation of passing the word on, investing in others, and then persevering. Jeremiah says, if you walk, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? Amen. We must persevere. Children, don't grow weary. Children, don't grow weary. Children, don't grow weary. Your time is drawing now. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor, say our labor. Don't fool me now. Say our labor. Our labor. Our labor. Our labor. Our labor is not in vain. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for thy people. We pray that we would be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know our labor is not in vain, help us to trust you because you have our best interest always at heart. Help us, Father, to invest in others and make sure our time is being used in a proper way. And Lord, help us to keep on persevering because we know what you say is true and it is invincible. It will come just as you said it would come. But you will be with us in the midst of everything we go through. We thank you. We bless your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you and God keep you.